Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast featuring Rob Cook, an international speaker and coach with a powerful life after trauma message. With a 20-year military background and a commitment to mental health, Rob inspires with stories of resilience and strength. He combines veteran insights and coaching expertise to help others excel in high-pressure situations. Today, Rob will share how his experience equipped leaders and trainers with unwavering dedication to overcome challenges. Join us for an inspiring session with Rob as he demonstrates the transformative power of understanding the mind. Rob, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, man, you like the third Alabama representative that I have on the show. It's funny. I'm getting all of these strong-minded people from Alabama.
That's what that state breeds, man. Strong-minded people.
No, seriously, bro, I had some sharp people. I'm like, and it's funny because I talked about it on my last show. It's a young lady that's actually getting her doctorate at Yale. And I was just like, wow, Alabama, aren't they like the last state as far as education is concerned? And she was like, no, it's Mississippi. We're 49. I was like, but it was just like amazing how, you know,
education, yes.
Yeah.
But not in life education, like street life education, because the race issue is such still a big component. Mm-hmm. You have this advanced like courses and just interacting with difficult people.
Mm.
So that you're right. We are strong minded, but also that side too.
Yeah,
that's why it's such a fight down there, because they're so strong-minded.
Wow,
just whatever you believe, not strong-minded because you believe what I'm believing. No, mm-hmm. Everybody down there is so strong-minded that is why when they collide so violently.
Wow,
everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what side of the fence you're on. Yeah,
was it the brawl was out there too? The infamous brawl.
Man, listen, so much.
Yeah, like people, like I never seen a fight where like people were coming out of nowhere just to help. You know what I mean? We ain't having that. I was like, oh, wait. Usually when we watch things online, people just sit back and record. But people are like, hell no, we about to get out there and help. And it took the internet by storm. And I was just like, wow, that's a different kind of people than what I've been observing.
What's so interesting about that fight that was different for me was that fight went viral, not because of the fight. That fight went viral because some people who had nothing to do with some felt just as offended and disgraced and came to the aid. Mm-hmm. That thing went viral because people saw somebody getting screwed over and somebody who didn't have nothing to do with it in this time, who can be in their own world and just record it, come to his defense. Then it went out of control from there. But that was what grabs people's attention, because that's the hole we missing.
Yeah. No, that's like a guy swimming to the fight. Hold on, what's going on?
You know, that I want to be a part of this.
And people coming out off of the boat with chairs. Nah, this ain't, and nobody, we've never seen anything like that before, especially online. So you're exactly right, bro. That's what caught people's attention. And with that being said, man, I'm not going to say you're an elderly guy, but yeah, I know we're around the same age, but how was it for you growing up in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Out there in Alabama. Yeah. How was
it? Well, my early childhood, I graduated high school early 90s. So most of my middle school, early high school days was 80s through to
oh,
the 90s.
Hold on, no, yeah. Let's take that back. We are not the same age at all. So hold on. You just look young. My bad. Let me take that back. Let me, nah, hell no. Nah. I was in kindergarten in 91, so yeah.
No, yeah, we got some years apart there. We got okay. a whole bunch of years apart. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got a whole bunch of years apart. That's pretty funny. I appreciate yeah. that compliment, though. But right, no, right. So, man, life was, it was pretty interesting. And it's fresh because I'm writing about it now, but I came into life with a nice idea about it. Like, I was an optimistic kid. I was silly, things like that. But it didn't fit my environment. Because we were in inner city Birmingham area, housing projects, Section 8, things like that. Gangs, crack, all of that being on the uprise. Me not necessarily wanting that life, but realizing I don't make it if I don't adapt to it.
Right.
And so there became this dilemma very early on trying to figure out how to balance enough street life that I don't get bullied every day, but then enough education, openness, and things like this so I don't lose my footing in trying to be successful in life. And it was weird, man. It was super weird because I remember adopting anger as a communication tool because I saw in my environment those who were most angry always got what they wanted. And so as a kid, not knowing how to regulate yet what I'm feeling of stuff, I just see, oh, when bro go off, everybody listen. Really wasn't me though. I'm practicing it, trying to learn how to be angry because I just needed a way to navigate. I knew I wanted out of my environment, kind of knew. I think it was validated. My aunts, my father's sisters would tell me, baby, you're going to leave here. You different. You're going to leave here, baby. And that kind of played as well. I don't even know, man. I think it was wild. One of the biggest fights of my life was against one of my best friends going over for a game. He beat my ass. Like, he really beat me. But I remember him hitting me at the point I was about to just give up and just cradle. And I thought he was talking trash because I can hear him. No, get up. No, get up. He was coaching me. He was coaching me back to my feet because I was going over for his game. You feel me? Like, I was trying to assimilate with somebody to get protected because I was out there, felt alone or whatever, but he wouldn't let me lay down. After I got up, we fight. I got a few licks in and we end the fight or whatever. And he looked at me, was like, you never stay down. You always got to get back up. The relationship took an immediate change. He became then a protector. He starts saying, you're going to be out of here soon. You're leaving. So I don't even know this place I'm going to that everybody telling me I'm about to leave for. You feel me? What do you mean? I'm decent at best in sports, so it can't be that. But people my whole life have so-called seen my path prior to me waking up to it. That's what it was like for me, man. A lot of experiences, not all bad. Not all bad. There were some moments of teachers and coaches who put stuff in me that got me here today. But that story with my best friend, Ryan, that was the first time I realized that where I came from taught me to never lay down, to always get back up. I don't care what, just get back up. Just get like it. And that started everything. Every trouble, every trial, as long as I got back up for long, nothing really seemed to faze me. Not that I still wasn't falling, but I was now super comfortable just getting back up. I failed so many times. That's what you do. I got to the point I failed so much, I wasn't even looking trying to see who saw me fail anymore. I'm just getting back up, dusting myself off because I don't care about nothing right now but what I'm on. And so for me, man, it was the foundation of my entire life now.
Man, that kind of reminds me of how I grew up. And I had a long conversation with one of my friends that I grew up with. And when you're in those type of environments, like I went to a middle school were kids from the projects, Compton, Watts, South Central, all came down to the school, and it's known to be one of the most hectic middle schools, right? If you say you went to my middle school, people gonna be like, "Oh, damn, for real? You gotta be, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be something. Like, you gonna fight, you gonna practice fighting, you gonna get with it." And I came from at first like a school where it was like I was the only black child to a school where like I'm a bunch around a ghetto bunch around a bunch of ghetto black kids. And my friend told me, he was like, "Man, Sherm, you were like a good kid in a mad city, because it's like you gotta adapt in order to survive." You know what I'm saying? It's, you gotta be tough, and you have to learn how to cope with being scared and being fearful. And then there's gonna be a time where you're just so used to being scared and fearful, thinking somebody's gonna jump you, beat you up, or whatever, where it's like it becomes numb. It's now it is what it is. Hey, if it's gonna go down, it's gonna go down. You know what I mean? And now that you're
It's a
saying,
learned behavior at that point.
Because
It's a learned behavior.
some people be like, "Man, I'm really not scared of anything, and I'm quite fearless." But then that was a behavior that I had to learn, you know what I'm saying, growing up. But then also I ended up noticing that the predators breed on fear. If they know that you're scared, they're gonna be on you even more. So you can't even pretend like you're scared. You can't give them an inch. You have to walk around with confidence with your head high. Some people are like, "Why are you so calm?" It's because you gotta be to survive. It's like that's a survival tactic, really. Walking around and
Almost
not being
definitely.
scared. Oh, yeah.
Whole inside shaking.
Right.
Never let them
Right.
see you sweat. Never
Never
let them
let them
see
see
you
you
sweat.
sweat, man. And it's crazy how you just get nurtured at such a young age to become like the figure that you are now. That's what I'm getting from it. But hearing you talk about it, it was like, dang, like I felt that. You know what I'm saying? Because you like one of my friends was like, "Man, all you have to do, for lack of a better term, is act a nigga. And then people are gonna start looking at you different. And that means like you go out there, trip, act a fool, you know what I'm saying? And you're gonna get whatever you want or whatever." And I used to be like, "Man, I'm not trying to do all that." You know what I'm
It's just
saying? Like,
not my way.
I don't want to be around hollering, screaming, acting irate. Nah, man, it gotta be a different way to get it. You know what I'm saying?
I like the way you said that though. A different way. Not how people get theirs, it's how they get it. I love the realization that I don't want it that way. Yeah, there's several ways people go out the gym, but I just don't want it that way either, man. Love for all that, man.
Man. And that's amazing. So, what high school did you have a recollection where, man, I want to join the army, and you know what I'm saying? I'm about to make it happen.
What happened first was my mom getting married, and the gentleman she married was in the Army Reserves, and he was how we got out of the projects. He had the most money, or he had the most stability any man my mom had been with at that point. He was the best example, because at that point my father wasn't in the home. He was the first dude I kind of really allowed lead me as a kid. Very good dude. He was in the reserve, so that was our vacation when he would do his 2 weeks away. So that was how we got out of Birmingham. And then he went to the Iraq War, the 92 one. I was in high school. He came back, and I remember putting on his jumpsuit because I missed him so much, the army fatigue jogging suit with the boots, and I wore it to school. And people said, "You going in the army? You going in the army?" And he was like, "No, it was him." But then it started ringing. Talked to my godmother about it. She was in the army. She was like, "Absolutely not." And I was like, "Okay." So I'm like, "I gotta get out of here, man. Like, stuff is happening. Friends are dying." So I go to the Marines recruiter. So he'll get me out. Signing, I'm going through the paperwork process with the Marines, but also I'm playing football. We win a game because we weren't that good. I wasn't the best quarterback, so we weren't that good, but we win a game, right? This dude comes in the locker room in full Marine gear, trying to convince kids to come into the Marine Corps after we won our one game. It was like, "This dude weird, man. This ain't right." Telling me, "Don't do this, go home." Almost like he was my dad, right? Giving me all these rules and all this stuff. And I was like, "No, I can't do that." He's been a military leader, so to speak. So I tell my mom I'm not going, which scared her. She says, "Well, you got to tell him yourself." She takes me up, tell him, "Hey, I'm not coming in the Marine Corps." He says to me, "Everybody's not a Marine." I'm like, F you, dude, like mad. Mm-hmm. I come out, my mom's pulling off. And there's this cat in an Air Force uniform right there in blues. And he says, Rob, but Robert, I was like, yeah, I'm looking for my mom. He's like, I'm Roy. He says, your mom says she'll be back. We can go grab some lunch. He's gonna go grab something to eat. I was like, oh, I ain't got no money, man. He said, no, we're good. Where you wanna go? So I'm being funny. I was like, Hooters. Cause it was like right there, right? He was like, oh, cool, let's go. I was like, what? Get in the car, he takes me, feed me, tell me I can do all this stuff in the Air Force, like everything. Mm-hmm. Boy, did he paint some dreams. It was like Picasso paintings he had. It's just blooming in my mind with what I can do. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bet, in, get in. And it went none of that for me. But he got me in though. He did get me in, you feel me?
Yeah.
And then, man, really, that was life all over again. That was actually like the beginning of what I call my second life, because I found myself in the very same position again.
So you were in the Air Force?
Yeah, I was in the Air Force.
Oh my God, I've been saying Army the whole time.
Oh, Air Force came from the Army, so it's the same.
Oh, okay.
the Marines is the oldest, but the Air Force is a component that came out of they're their own individual service, but they came, I think it was 1947, so they came out of the Army, so same, the same. Oh, military.
Okay, my bad.
No, it's not a distinction. For me, it's not enough of a distinction that warrants, oh, not that one, not some people do, but no. So y'all, whether you're talking to an Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, if you're talking to an E7, we all got paid the same thing.
Right, yeah, that's true. So, all the same training, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all this, like, so what am I tripping about? For me, again, some I get, but for me, nah.
I got
in
you.
The military, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so then it was just another shift, man. I came with this attitude, this don't mess with me, I'll fight you. And that ain't how it worked over there. Mm-hmm. So my whole first couple years was, man, just like home. I was fighting, I was in trouble. Just like making a mockery of this new opportunity. And I had this guy, I got in some trouble, and he sat me down and he was fussing at me. You don't know where I come from. I'm bad and all that. Yah, rah, rah. Not only did he shut me down, Sharon, he was from my neighborhood. He was from Birmingham, wow. Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He went to high school. He was my dad's and their age, my aunt's age. So he was a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
But he grew up in one of the housing projects in Birmingham. He mm-hmm. went to the same high school as I did. We mm-hmm. went to the same exact year, decades apart, but same high school. Every excuse I had, he also had. And so it was the first time I was like, I didn't have an excuse anymore as to why my behavior was affecting me, because it was reflected right here. In spite of all that, how he do it then? It was like a moment. What? I'm challenging him and making sure he from the same. Are you really testing it? Because if this is true, you sitting in front of me, that mm-hmm. means I am throwing away an opportunity. Because up until this point, I thought this was just the only way this opportunity could go. Given where I came from, it's just how it is. But it was like the reflection of him cursing me out. He was going off. But he was going off so bad because he knew where I was from. Mm-hmm. And he knew that I could. And he just wasn't seeing it. That was like the click for me, bro. When that hit him along with others, their mentorship, it shot off. And within, I'd say, 2 years of that, maybe even sooner, I was winning any kind of award that was coming out. My promotions was like banging. I was on top, just riding life.
Wow. And that's amazing, man, because it's like they helped you get over you being a victim of your environment.
Yeah.
It's a lot of us use that. Like, man, I'm from here, man. We got it tough and this. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, when you meet somebody that's not using that as an excuse to not do good or not do well, it's you can be like, damn, am I that weak? You know what I'm saying? I know I'm not that much of a weak ass person. Hell no. I got to step it up. I can't use that no more. Because now, you go ahead.
No, that point. You were just saying, some people choose to just lay down on that. And some of us choose to go, no, man, I could do this.
Yeah. Because it's like he reversed it on you. He was like, you're not tough because you're from just because you're from this area. You're tough because you're from this area and you overcame. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes you tough. That's what makes you successful, because a lot of people don't make it out. Why don't you show us something different? unless you want to just keep using that as a crutch, you
Yeah,
know?
but
And
I think Sherm, he knew the guy I was being fighting and all this stuff when I first got in the military wasn't me. Remember, I created that. I created that to navigate the neighborhood. He understood that too. So his thing is, you ain't even really being you. You out here talking about you being you. That ain't really, that was the character. You so caught up in the movie, you forgot it was a character. That you playing the character of the old movie in your new movie. That's why I call it like a second life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think of a movie and you take a character who plays somebody totally different and put them in there. It's, what is he? He doing the same lines from the movie he was in a long time ago, but he in a totally different, that would look crazy. But that's exactly what I was doing.
Yeah. Damn. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, man. I could definitely see that happening. 'Cause I ain't gonna lie, I had that character too for a minute. Where it's just, but then that's what you had to do to protect yourself. And when I moved to Atlanta, and my first move to Atlanta versus a year or two after being there, my friends would tell me, like, man, you're like a totally different person now. Now I had to adjust to a whole new environment to succeed, but it was an environment where people actually doing better. And when you have the mentality of, hey, I gotta be the best, or I gotta make it no matter where I'm at, why don't you try to make it somewhere where people are being productive and doing something well for themselves? You gotta compete on that level. Competing at the level, okay, I made it. Now it's time to step it up to level three. Okay, now I gotta step, instead of just trying to compete where you're dominant at, go to a new level and try to dominate there. And then more than likely you'll make it because you came from hell. You know what I'm saying? Literally. I have a friend that tells me all the time, Sherm, we came from hell. Think about it, bro. People are dying for no reason. People getting shot for no reason. People getting hemmed up by the police just for being black. I've been in the back of the police cars so many times and have never been to jail. And now I'm starting to think about, I'm like, that wasn't even right. They weren't even supposed to do that. But this was before the cameras. They had to wear the cameras and all that. But man, handcuffed, put on the curb, checking my guy's car for running a stop sign. You're not supposed to do that. Now that I'm old, I'm like, no, that was illegal. But he saw the car, he
Facts,
saw the people that
facts.
were in there. Now it's, oh yeah, these young black guys, let me see if they got a gun or drugs or something like that. But he had no probable cause to do that. And it's just, yeah, man, it's just interesting. Now I look at this, we're really a hell of a success just to come from an area like that and just be who you are today.
Most definitely,
Yeah.
most definitely. But what's really interesting about the story you just shared and the way it took was, that was my job in the military.
Oh, military police.
I was a military police.
Yeah.
So I got sent to schools and trainings at Department of Homeland Security. I've trained with the Secret Service. We went to police academy. So then I learned the other side. It's like a no bring a no wonder more so. I see why cops now profile, because the way in which we are trained makes me fear the living crap out of you. That's the training. That's the embedded. So the response is, ooh, okay, ooh, man, I'm going to die. That's the tone it sets. I got pulled over here. I had my grabbed my cell phone out here being Los Angeles, grabbed my cell phone out of the little thing because it's spinning. To see, you take a 480 south, 405 south or north, you don't know which one you're supposed to be on. That could be an hour because of traffic, right? So I'm trying to make sure I got it. And cop looks up, whoop, hit me. I'm like, okay, cool. Cell phone ticket, it's $25 probably, maybe even 50. I'm okay. Got registration, got truck insurance. Like, I'm fine. I have not one concern about this traffic stop at this point. So I let my windows down, just hang my hands out so you can see I ain't got nothing in it. And he comes up hot, like on 10, as if he done ran the tags and I got three guns pointed out. Like he, for a traffic, like he saw me grab it, right? So I get through the stop and he gives me the ticket. And I say, man, I said, sir, you mind if I ask you a question? He was like, yeah. I said, why did you come up so hot? It was a cell phone ticket. I know I got $50. I'm explaining to him, I know I got insurance. I know I'm in the right. Like, why was you so high? And he said, because you call me a racist.
You did?
No. When I let those windows down and put my hands out, he felt I was saying, "You're like all the other cops killing blacks in the streets."
Oh, wow.
And that shot him up. He
Wow, I would
says,
have
"I'm not a
never.
racist." He starts screaming, "I'm not a racist. I am a good cop." Like this is in the street. Why? I'm like, oh, this thing took a turn. I wasn't expecting this. He was
Wow.
defending himself, bro. He was defending himself for me. It was insane, man. It was like,
Wow.
yeah. So it was, it's, yeah. I don't even know how to explain it.
But you gotta remember when you growing up in the 90s, it's like a different cops now versus the cops that
Yeah.
we were growing up. I feel like they're not as ignorant. They know people. The world is the network and the internet and all this other stuff is opening a lot of these people's minds. But it's
I
like I
agree.
could, yeah, because I say in the 90s of a cop boy, you shit, it didn't matter if he was racist or not, he was still an a-hole.
Yeah, no
Who
matter
knows?
what. It went off race, it was just off rip.
Yeah, it was just off rip, like black, white,
It
Asian, man. I had
didn't
every,
matter.
yeah, it didn't matter what race he was automatically like that. But I have been pulled over and recently, and the cop was actually pretty cool. It was like, I called him bro after I left, and I was like, what the heck happened? What? Like, he was just like, hey, man. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I know. Fix a ticket. All right, cool. Go about your day, you
What
know?
changed?
That's a good question. He was pretty. I don't know. That's a good question because you know where we live.
Exactly. That's what I
Yeah,
mean.
like
So the
we're not going to be specific, of course, but
yeah,
you know
but
where we live.
so my point is, I know they haven't changed. But what you just had was a totally different experience. So I'm like, okay, then what changed
Nah, seriously though, because we're like raisins and rice bowls where we live.
then?
So like, why wasn't he? You know what I'm saying? But maybe it's because the environment that we're in doesn't warrant them to be like that. Versus maybe if we were like in the inner city where they have to deal with a lot of friction. I don't know. Maybe that's it. You know, that
But
could.
that's a valid reason, though. If you say that out loud,
Yeah.
that's a real valid reason. I don't
Yeah.
have to worry as much over here. Don't mean you still can't trip, flip, and we can have a problem.
Right.
But this environment doesn't produce that level of stress or anxiety where I need to be on level 10.
Right.
You just said it. But if I'm in a place that's on level 10, I'm riding on level 10.
Yeah, not
And I'm
seriously.
riding on level 10 within, I want to say, with, how do I say this? I'm riding on level 10 on a flawed program. That's what how I'll say it.
Yeah.
It was the same conditioning used, in my opinion, on military after 9/11 toward Muslims.
Yeah.
We didn't separate extremists and Muslim in the media during that time, and so
Nope.
everybody felt all Muslims. That's the flawed mentality, was that same foundation at some point of law enforcement or our justice system to us in
Yep.
particular. It's complicated sometimes.
Yeah, I had a homeboy named Muhammad, and he was black, but that was just his name. And he said every time I go to the airport and TSA, they check me more than every single time. He was like, it never fails. Just because of my name, and it's just wow, like it's but that, like you said, it's conditioning, but it's fear. But even though that did happen one time, but I could also the 9/11, but I could also sympathize with like police officers as a way. Like, I have family members in the LAPD, and I actually just talked to my cousin who's in the LAPD and just talking to her about the police life, and I just couldn't imagine dealing with that every single day, like a high tense, high stressed environment where people are getting shot and domestic
Call it what it is,
violence.
a war zone.
Yeah, so
Call it what it is, a
yeah.
war
And you're
zone.
hearing about, because it's like the
No,
news isn't going to tell you every single thing that
no,
happens. You're not going to
no.
hear every single thing that happens. Like when I read about homicides, I say, I was like, okay, I'm going to just see what's going on. Bro, there's homicides even where we live at, but you just don't hear
That
about
don't make the level. Yeah, it's got to be
it. Yeah, it
a
don't
big
make the
amount,
news.
but people are dying daily in every neighborhood and city around here.
Yeah, seriously. And I'm shocked. And I was just like, wow, like a 55-year-old woman got shot and stabbed, and this happened and that. I'm like, what? like literally around the corner from you. You just have to go and look at the reports. And it's just like, imagine being a police officer and having to respond to that every single day. You're hearing the worst of the worst. And then I start to sympathize with them, like, man, those people need to, I personally couldn't handle that. Like, I matter of fact, one of my close friends was an officer, and he said, like, when he goes in and he has to deal with a domestic violence case or something where a child is being molested, it's hard for him not to beat the dude up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's difficult, but you have to be, it has to be some type of mental strength. But I definitely could understand. Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
It was the years being a military police were eye-opening, man. Because again, all the training and the stuff, learning how to profile, learning how to decipher through situations, seeing certain things being just taboo and reflecting the community I came from. So many different things, which was very interesting when retirement came. Mm-hmm. Because I came back to this side of the world and I had to have it crack open where I had also begun to judge and look at inner city communities and things like a cop. Like that was the mentality I retired with. And I was at visiting family and home. And one of my youngest brothers, man, he's a hitter. He in the streets, he went hard. He's kind of out now, but still close ties.
Yeah.
But he's my mom's youngest, and so she's always worried about him. And I remember, man, one time we was driving and we was about to go visit her. She's now moved on in a better, nice neighborhood and things like that. And I think my dad was in the back seat, but we're driving and we pull up to this gas station on his side of town, which isn't the best. And I was like, bro, like if you get gas over there by mama, like I'll fill your tanker. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Can we just, he like, shut up. We grew up here. Stop being a, he just went off.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's a chopper under my seat. There's a Glock in the glove compartment. And I'm like, I don't need no guns, man. Just go in there, do what you gotta do so we get the hell on. Because now I'm like, I'm in this environment. I'm making all this stuff up about it, whatever. So I'm tripping. We get in the car. We start taking off. And I'm pissed. He goes, what's wrong with you? And I go off on this tyrant about you need to do better. You running around here with guns and you got kids. And it's, bro, his face looked confused. And he got angry. And I'm just snapping, just going off. And my dad is like, I can feel my dad like chill because my little brothers will flip in a minute, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. He said, well, I told you where the gun's at. And I'm like, no, I don't. That don't make no sense to me. I don't see why you're doing it. He said, because didn't they train you how to kill? Wow. He said, I just picked this up, but they trained you to gun it down.
Hmm.
Bro, I'm sitting there like hurt. He said, you just shot for people you don't even know for this country, but you ain't gonna, I'm your brother?
Dang, that's a different way of looking
Hacking
at it.
Hacking it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see his hurt. I could see there was no difference in us, man. If he had died in a gunfight on the streets and I had died from a deployment, our parents weren't going to be any better off or happier. I carried a weapon almost every day of my 21-year career for the purpose of protection.
Mm-hmm.
That is the same reason he carries one, because he lives in a war zone too. It was like, oh, snap. His boys, his crew, his gang were my teammates I deployed with.
Mm-hmm.
The people who gonna shoot over your back, the people who gonna fight with you no matter if you right or wrong, because we just in this country and it ain't but 13 of us. That's the same thing, man.
It literally is, yeah.
And it was like the only difference was the narratives that were laid on top of each to make me feel that I was somewhat better than him.
Mm-hmm.
And that just wasn't true.
Yeah, man. Like, one of the reasons why I don't judge people in those situations is because when things were going on with me, those people were the ones that pulled up ready to
protect my exactly.
life. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. And I think about it differently because the way my uncle put it, he was like, the gangbangers are your protectors. They're the police. Say if something happened to me, man, I'll never forget this. I was outside talking to a friend, a female friend of mine. Some dudes pulled up in the truck and was like, hey, what's up? Where y'all from? What's up? What's going on? What y'all doing out here? And I
Your
was just
code
like,
word for
well,
this
like,
about
no. But bro, I
to
thank God that God didn't do anything because he will, oh God, because the group, yeah, I ain't even gonna get into it. Anyways, and I'll tell you that off air, you know. But anyways, I go in the house and one of my friends, that's a super active gang member, right? Which is in the house with my brother. I tell him what happened. He hops up so fast. What? Let's go get him right now. Let's go. Let's go. And he snaps. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, nah, bro, like you're not a part of that life, but I am. But it's the same thing that if I was to call the police and tell them what happened, they'll come by and do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? The way I looked at it was different. It was like, nah, man, we know that they do crimes and stuff like that too. But then it's say, if you got into a jam and you were in Alabama and you were to call your brother and tell let your brother know, oh, he's gonna come
Oh,
flying,
he gonna slide. He gonna slide
gun
real quick.
smoking,
Yes. Oh yeah. Yes.
ready to give his life for
Yeah.
you. You know what I'm saying? And it's no different than what you were saying, like because some people look down on him. I'm like, man, shit. Sometimes it's unfortunate, but sometimes we need those people for protection.
It's in that environment. When
Yeah.
I it's funny, man, because I also learned at that moment I was trying to be his dad, and my dad was in the back seat. I'm his brother. I wasn't his dad, but because again, Pops wasn't there when we was kids, I always felt this so-called responsibility to father him. That's when I got out of line. That's when I got out of position. That's when he stopped hearing me. But if when I'm in my role of being his brother, he could hear me. We had got to the point where he had started making changes in life. That Sherman, when he took his guns out the car, because of what he cracked in my head on me thinking my way of life was significantly better, but not being in his environment, he was like, bro. I put the stuff up in my closet. You feel me? Like, I was like, wait, is that safe? Maybe you should just take a gun and, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm trying to convince him to at least put one gun back in the car. Because if you are in that environment, that was my real, you, it's, I promise you, man, at some point the conversation has to be, you can't fault people, or you can't fault, or you can't just look at the behaviors of a person who grows up. Whose development, whose entire life happens in a war zone. My brother has been in more shootouts than I have with enemy contact and deployments for the United States government abroad. And he lives in a small town in Birmingham, Alabama. He's one of many, though. Like we share similar stories of seeing dead people after gunfights or explosions for me. Like we've lost people on your team together. It's, oh, it's the same to me. It's the same.
Nice, man. That's why, like, I tell people often say, oh, Militant Grind, were you in the service? I was like, nope. But I'm from LA, though. You
Yeah, exactly.
know what I'm saying? Like, you know, man, trust me. You got it. We have to learn how to move militant. Say, my dad was in the army, my uncle was in the streets, but he came out super militant people, and he basically sat us down and taught us how to survive. Even if you're not a part of that life, just because you're in the proximity, you still have to learn. You know what I'm saying? Like I grew up there was gangs in my neighborhood, but I still had to learn how to
You gotta
maneuver.
learn how to
Even
maneuver.
if I'm not actively in the gang, I still have to be militant. I still have to know to protect. Like I didn't walk around with guns or anything, but please believe I had some people around me that had them. You know what I mean? But it was nothing. I'm talking about like one of my boys. I was just talking to two guys, right? And one of my boys, this was back in 2009, 10, where everybody was wearing fitted clothes back then. So my clothes were fitted. And my guy walked up, handed me his gun, and was like, hold this. Because he gave it to me so he could go talk to somebody or do something. I don't know. He was like trying to find, I don't know what he was doing. And the guys who I was talking to was still talking to me like nothing. He didn't hand me any. I was just like, oh shit, what do I do with this gun? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to like, I have no place to put it. Because it wasn't like I had on big old jeans. I was just like, what? But then it was just like that's just what it was back then. Now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, can you imagine one of your son's friends just like handing him a gun, telling him to hold it? Hell no. I don't want my kids to grow up in anything like that whatsoever. But it's just so crazy how it's not necessarily wrong, but it's just, that's just what it is.
Yeah, that's just what
Yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way you can say it. It's not wrong. It's just what it is. If I compare it to some other communities, I can make up some things that make it look wrong. But the truth is, you remember, like my little brother was saying the other day, man, I ain't really got nothing to be mad about because I'm 40 some years old and I wasn't supposed to make it this long. So now he's starting to wake up too and see what has been his militant grind. And I think what's so interesting, everybody always knew the military person anyway. Or in the black community, it's always, that boy need to go in the military. Why do they keep saying that? Or what do they say? They say they need a discipline. That's what they saying. And I think that's what really resonates with people when they see militant grind, is they know it's a discipline to what I'm doing. And I think even now, when I go into prisons and talk to gang members, my stripes that are earned for credibility of gang life were earned when I was in the military, not when I was actually in a gang. So they could feel, okay, he has a credibility. So when I say I was in a gang as a kid, they automatically assume that's where my stripes of credibility of testing things came from. No, my learning how to really get down was in the military. It's a funny thing, though, right? So again, just the similarities of it. But they respect me because they know I'm really not trying to be in that life. Like, they let me freely teach them and talk to them because I'm not back and forth. One week I want to be a thug with them and lavish in that life. And then this week I'm going to try to play teacher. No, I'm always teacher. I'm always teacher. I'm disciplined in my lane of the service I'm providing you. I'm disciplined in my lane of our relationship. I'm disciplined in my lane of what I'm here to do for you, how I support you. And that lets me move and see other communities where people might not, you know, gang members, I ain't in nothing. But they feel that, though. Oh, he ain't judging me because I could see it the same. But let me help you in it. Like, if it is your environment, let me help you in it.
You know, it's funny, bro. I have a funny story about the same type of scenario. So I used to teach people how to respond to emergency situations at the LAX airport, right? And I was in this one company. They were good, decent people. These are minimum wage jobs, you know what I'm saying? So they don't attract like the most educated, the best of the best, you know what I'm saying? And it was pretty decent. And then they were like, oh man, there's this one place. You got to be careful over there because those guys are pretty tough and they street guys. And one day I was there and I almost got in a fight with the guy. And maybe he thinks I'm his parole officer by the way I dress. And so they were like, okay, Sherman, we're going to place you over there because these guys are firefighters. So they already got their little bravado thinking that they're tough or whatever, right? But then they were like, okay, we're going to place you there because I guess they were trying to haze me, trying to break me or whatever. And I go there, bro, and it was one of the best experiences that I've had. Oh my God, I absolutely loved it. Loved it. Because little did they know, I was around people that I grew up with.
I know
how to handle these people.
You know what I'm saying?
That's where you're most comfortable.
It was easy.
That's where you're most learning experience.
Yeah.
Like, people that they had no idea that some of the people were in the class, some of them knew who I was already. Because we're from the same area. You from Compton? Oh, man, we're going to lunch together.
Yeah.
And it was so crazy that one of the teachers hit me up and was like, hey, man, I'm just checking on you just to make sure you're okay over there because I heard how it could be. Those people could be. I'm like, man, I have no problems at all.
Yeah.
I respect them. I'm a militant person already, like, by design. So it was like, it was easy for me. I didn't judge them. I had talked down on them. I stood my ground on certain things, and they absolutely loved it. When I said, hey, quiet down, and I was younger, when they were like around my age or a little older than me. Hey, y'all, come on. We about to start the class again. All right, cool. Lunchtime is over. Come on, let's get back to it. Okay. And I was just like, wow, man, when people come from such a judging point of view when it comes to certain people, like, they could actually feel that and they resist it because all they do is just read people all day anyway.
They navigate, they
know when you're scared of them, they know when you got anxiety, like, they could feel that. And now, oh, you show weakness, oh yeah, I'm coming for blood now.
It's so funny you bring up such a what I call a powerful point of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
When you know that so I go into a youth facility once and I'm teaching. I know who's the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
I can see who's the, because they can't have gangs because it is a youth detention facility, but mm-hmm. I can tell who's gang leader.
Mm-hmm.
I can immediately spot King, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I interact with him in a way that's give him due respect, not minimize anybody else, but so he knows I know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have, I'm teaching and I say, all right, so we're going to talk about resilience. I'm going to talk about resilience. And I start with him and he curses me out. Goes on. Get on with that dumb, bah, bah, bah. Just go off. And I'm like, all right. If I lose him, I'm going to lose everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a virtual class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh.
Oh, it was virtual? Oh, yeah, that's different.
It was virtual. Yeah, it was virtual. This yeah. particular one was virtual. I do go up there and go in, but this particular one was virtual.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, man, whatever. Next. Go on to the next person, right? Three people start talking, and they start talking about their resilience.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up. Rob, you know, I'm resilient. Bro, I know what that means. Nah. Yeah, facts. I'm resilient. And start telling me all of his resilient stories. It basically just takes over the class, right? I said to him when he finished, I was like, man, I appreciate you so much for that. I said, but you think it would have just been easier to ask me what resilience mean and cuss me out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm on your side, bro. And he was like, you right, my bad, man. And boom, that was it. And mm-hmm. every day, them cats was front and center for class.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was, I asked him a question in front of the people he leads. Again, this is all underground. This is all undertone. Officially, none of this is happening. But the undertone is, you about to embarrass me in front of these folks, man.
Now I got to show you who you are.
Now I got to yeah. show you.
Yeah.
And what I know about showing you comes with this verbiage, this language, me standing up. It was like, oh, I stepped on that mine because I'm unaware of your environment. That's why I have to learn to listen now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a mind feel. Like the guy said, I almost got into a fight. Probably because you did something being unaware of how that actual atmosphere operates.
Mm-hmm.
You offended someone. You disrespected someone. And those two things is what people are willing to die for over there.
Right.
Over here, we call it honor and society of the honor and patriotism for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's our efforts and our money abroad. They got their stuff they're going to die for too, man.
Yeah.
And respect is one of them.
Yeah. Honor is one of them too.
Honor, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually like one of my pillars of the Militant Grind is honor, being honorable. And the most honorable. It's like you even in the streets, you have to be an honorable person.
You better.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's how you win.
That's how you survive.
Yeah, yeah. You ain't gotta be always liked or always win, but honorable.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna be some stand up. No matter however the interactions are, they always stand up actions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember getting a fight once in the military with this black dude, and it wasn't many black dudes in the unit. And I knew both of us getting in trouble was going to be super bad.
Yeah.
And we were young too, and we were drunk, but we weren't even 21 yet. So I knew we was in trouble. But I remember when we started hearing people come, I helped him up. Yo, come on, come on. And we ran. I helped him run away from where we got the fighting at. So people wouldn't really see us. I'm like, go change. So when they ask us, so now I'm giving in the game on how we can get out of this together, just like that instant,
mm-hmm.
because it clicked on me. Wait, you know, we fighting for no reason. Now we about to be in trouble, and I'm trying to help him now. Man, it was so fun. It was just honorable. We ended mm-hmm. up becoming real cool. Started talking and figured out what it was that he felt disrespect about that started the fight in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, man. Not being a stand-up dude and just don't want no one, I ain't want nobody snitching on me, but two, again, just taking care of people.
Yeah.
No matter the situation, then end up turning into a friend. Being honorable has its benefits. It's not a weakness either.
Nah, not at all.
It's not a weakness.
Like being honorable is also telling people when they're doing wrong and giving them advice on when they should actually do better. Like when yeah. I'm around my street friends, they know not to talk to me about certain things. I say, no, I'm not going to be about that life. And I might try to give you a different direction. You're not going to glorify, man. I got some lean and some weed, bro. What's up?
Yeah, yeah.
Not to talk to me about that because I'm going to give you my two piece about it. Because at the end of the day, it's universal anyway.
Yeah.
That isn't going to bring you good fruition if you get caught up or if something happens or whatever. So
yeah.
I feel like if you're an honorable person, you really have to remain that no matter what situation or what circumstances that you're in, period. Say you talking to your brother like that, you were being honorable, but then you were being unaware at the same time.
That's a good one.
You were
That's
like,
a good one.
Because it's that was you were like, hey, you're giving him advice as far as what you think is the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That could be an honorable thing because your perspective with your intent was right.
Yes, my intent.
Your intent was right.
Yes.
So I can't be mad at you for having that intent. And your brother wasn't mad at you for having that intent, but he taught you something. You know what I'm saying? To be more aware of what's going on.
What's going on?
And yeah, man, it's an interesting thing, bro. Interesting thing when it comes to awareness, honorability, resilience. But honestly, you probably should have said, hey, class, this is what resilience means. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was probably something. But that's so funny because so many times I realized when I fall, I was looking at the thing I tripped over myself. It was just like I wasn't paying attention. I should have started that class out. But that's because most people automatically assume everybody's exactly where they are.
Yep. Yeah.
That assumption is not real.
Right.
And that's why in teaching now and in courses I do, shared context is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean when you say that? Because this is what I mean when I say
right.
What do you mean when you say that? Right? Because honorable means the same thing for the crook as it does the criminal, for the cop as it does the criminal.
Yeah.
Honorable means the same for the bigot as it does the philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
The actions they do are different.
Mm-hmm.
But in this lane, there are things that are considered honorable. And in this lane, they are.
Yeah.
So it's, are we talking the same thing?
Yeah. 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 Because as I say, if you watch the mob movies, they have honor things.
Rules.
Yeah. Rules and regulations within. Say in jail, there's honor. If you in here and we read your paperwork and you did something to children, we got to take you out. So that's the rules here. This is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because it's in all walks of life, in all kinds of systems, there is honor. I seen a movie, I think Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. And it's funny because the saying is like, there's no honor amongst
honor them. Amongst thieves, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, there isn't, but then in certain cases there is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It just depends because thieves are gonna thieve, and you have to know that if you're gonna be around them. But
yes, exactly. Thievers, you know, thieves, yes.
Right.
What is it, stealers steal or thieves steal? Yes, I think the correct way to say it is a thief will steal.
Yeah, because they only have their best interest at hand. Like, they're not thinking about
everybody.
The people that, yeah, everybody does.
Everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Yes. But then it's like the thief is going to do it so he can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, like, man, come on, corporate, everything. It's shame. You just never know because everybody is selfish to a certain extent and they're going to do what's best for them. It's very rare to find somebody that thinks for the betterment of everybody and for the whole. You know what I mean? That's and I'm starting to learn that as I grow older. It's like, it's not more so that there's something wrong with other people. It's just that when you're innate with leadership qualities, you think of people as a whole and everybody doesn't necessarily think about it like that. Like,
no,
people
they
aren't
don't.
Gonna look out for you the same way you look out for them because they're not leaders. You know what I'm saying? And that's okay. Because
absolutely okay.
Yeah, it's to me, because it's more so like when you become aware of who you are, you start to look at other people differently and start accepting them for who they are because you know that you're different than everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
We all are different.
Yeah.
All are different. All different spectrums of a beautiful light. For me, similar to what you just said about the wholeness or the oneness, that's how I healed and got like this. It was like, oh, wait, there are behaviors that if I write them up on the board, I can ask 10 people from different races, religions, cultures, all this, and everybody would go, those actions, that person must have been mad, angry. All right, I put over here sometimes, oh, that person must have been sad or depressed. It's universal that people know the behaviors. for me, it became the behaviors were no longer important if I could see what they were dealing with. Because if I see what they're dealing with, then I would, like I would, what do I feel when I'm sad? I don't feel, I feel like everybody's against me. I feel like the whole world is tumbling down. I don't really want nobody advice in this moment. I'm throwing myself a pity party. That's going to be true for that person too. Or if I'm mad and angry about something that I feel passionate about, I'm so-called ready to fight about it. That's going to be true for that other person as well. And then it was, oh, I want to stop communicating and talking to the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to the intent behind it, because
mm-hmm.
that's where the change comes from. Because I could change the behavior, but if the anger or the sadness or depression stays, it's just a new behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go underneath that. So it's like seeing that we are all the same helped me, like you said, look at people different, and I couldn't judge them. Like, I may not have agreed with them,
mm-hmm.
but I sure as hell couldn't judge them no more.
Mm-hmm.
Given the decisions I made when I was mad. Given right. the decisions I made when I was sad. Given the decisions mm-hmm. I made that were reckless. Given the times I was doing shit that probably was sacrificing everything I had worked for. I did them know.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. So why would anybody else be different, Rob? Is what I used to start telling myself. And it was, I started waking up, man, and moving at a pace in life that was dealing with that stuff. And it was like, oh, yeah. Everybody's looking for this.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to be trusted. Everybody trying to find safety. Everybody is trying. It was like, no matter which, you take this off, put this layer on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, they want the same. Take this layer off, put this layer on it. They want the same. It was like, oh, okay. I'm playing a different game there. My grind is letting you know you can stop spinning yourself up, because the best way to attribute or help the world is to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the better you take care of yourself, you start creating podcasts that talk about honorable actions that people get to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? It's the taking care of produce this, not this produce you being good. That's the most, that's your people. Yes, you do think of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I do think of humanity. Mm-hmm. I think of humanity when I work out. I think of humanity when I'm eating, because that's what helps me stay of service to them. That's right. What keeps my grind possible. In a way, I would be perceived as selfish, because the number one priority in my life is my self-care.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I'm in my best place, all I want to do is serve others.
Right.
So right. Then the game became, I ain't even got to change nobody no more. No. I ain't even got to deal in none of that.
No.
The better I take care of myself, the deeper I get, the more conversations I have, the wisdom I can collectively get around, the more awareness I can hear with, my life changes anyway.
Right.
I start wanting to do things that ultimately help create how we even got together.
Mm-hmm.
The barber, our barber, right?
Yeah.
Ray cuts hair all day long.
Right.
But it was some interactions that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Where if Ray's son comes to town, he calls me Uncle Robert. Now, me and Ray have never seen each other outside the barbershop.
Right.
Think about that. Never.
Yeah.
We've never seen each other outside the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
But when his son come to town, I pull up to the barbershop, bring him some toys, sit there with him, talk to him. But he knows Uncle Robert. And me and Ray, totally different.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. Hell no. Bro, don't even. Ray's a one of a kind individual. Hey, that's my guy, though. But
yeah. And I love
Ray.
You,
Ray is unfiltered.
Yeah.
Man, Ray will tell you some stuff and look at you like.
Hey.
But it'd be so real, though. Like,
hey, man. He's so funny.
Oh, my
funny.
God. Ray will say something to me. I'll be like, did he just say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Then after a while, you think about it. It's like, oh, hold on. That was some real stuff. But damn.
Bro, it's one of a kind. You said it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, there's nobody on this earth I've ever met like Ray. No, yeah, no. Like, he is, yeah, he's a different individual, man. But he, once I came in, he was like, y'all need to connect.
Yeah, exactly.
But Ray's one of those people that read people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He comes from that street life.
Yeah. 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 Now, he's a street guy for sure.
Yeah.
The way he deciphers information, how he reads people, how he mm-hmm. reads on habits, is, man, that dude is super intelligent.
Yeah.
Super intelligent.
I remember I picked up on Ray because, again, my whole thing was security. So he was at this one barbershop. And you know how funny he is. You know how he always talking. You know how he always. So he's cutting my hair, and I'm noticing he dead quiet. I'm like, okay, that's weird. So now I'm like, my ears go open to the whole shop, and I'm starting to hear, okay, this ain't where it's at. This might be some crap. Yeah. He got quiet because he was paying attention. It was like I start picking up on his cues like that.
Yeah,
how he greets, who he talks to, because he has the temperament that you if you could tap into it, it's like he reads people very well, bro.
Yeah, nah, he will definitely not talk if he doesn't have to. Yeah,
exactly.
But then he could go. You know what I'm saying? Like it's weird because say somebody was like, "Yo, barber, quiet," and I'm like, "He quiet?
Yeah, trust him. Yeah, they'll trust him, bro."
You know, it's like. Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe he's, I don't know, because he ain't quiet with me. Hell no.
Not at all.
But so, I'm like, if he's quiet with you.
He knows he watches people.
Yeah, something must be up. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. That is dang. I didn't even really think about it like that.
Even that, now imagine if this wasn't real. And then when you find out me and your wife went to the same gym, she tell you that dirtbag?
Yeah.
She said she knew me, and it matched us knowing beforehand. Us not even being, even those two communities, I didn't have them connected. So we've been in three different places, and then it's the same, though.
Yeah.
It's the
bro,
same.
Yeah, no, but that takes an honorable person, bro, because it's crazy because the guy I interviewed from Alabama is Joel Taylor, who written and directed They Clone Tyrone. I always get the movie name.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I interviewed him, and before I interviewed him, I posted something up online and about his awards or whatever, like him getting nominated, just shouting out the movie, not even saying I'm interviewing him or anything like that. And so next thing you know, my homegirl was like, "Oh, that's my cousin." And I'm like, "What?" But then I'm thinking about, and I haven't seen her in years, 6 years, but we always talk on, no, like 7 years, but we always talk online. But I was thinking like, what if I did her dirty and this happened? It's just crazy, bro. Like, you really have to be careful about how you treat people because people are connected in so many ways. You know what I'm saying? It's wild.
But again, it comes to what you can't control. If you know that, what you just said, if I know I need to treat people honorably, that has nothing to do with how the person is acting or anything on there. That's all. So again, it becomes a lot easier to do if I'm just worried about me.
Yeah.
Just treat everybody with the respect. Yeah. I read something that said, how did it say it? Treating someone with respect, whether they deserve it or not, says nothing about them, but everything about you, or something like that. It was basically saying, if you're angry screaming at me and I don't want to be angry, why would I respond back to you in anger if I'm not angry?
Right.
Just because you are angry doesn't automatically mean I'm supposed to just now be angry either.
Right.
You know, so
it's just being steadfast, bro.
Yeah. Yes. You know that's saying? A good one. I like that word, steadfast.
That's the most gangster thing you could possibly do when things are out of control. If you stay calm, poised, but that's militant within itself anyway.
I agree.
Know what I'm saying? Because when it's commotion, if you're not responding to the commotion, you could respond to what's really going on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In all instances. And they call that, it's say if somebody starts shooting, and some people panic, and then there's other people that their minds slow down, they don't panic, but they're like everything is in slow motion. I'm sure you can relate to this when something has happened, but they call that the warrior gene. Some people that are cool, calm, and collected, they're like warriors because if their adrenaline it goes up a bit, it's not going to take them out of whack. You know what I'm saying? But then for some people who's always at edge, if something happens, and they're adrenaline, like, because they're already up. But then if they go up a little more, it's
they're shocked.
They're in shock. You know what I'm saying?
Once you're in shock, it's over anyway.
Yeah, it's over anyway. And then
shock.
And then I learned that, and I was like, oh, because some people be like, man, Sherm, cool, he reserved, he this and he that. And it's just because I don't respond to things like you will doesn't mean that I'm like a punk or sissy or this and the third. It's just that you just have to learn how to avoid and respond to different situations. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like
I think your work is before that too, though.
You said work is before. Go ahead.
Your work is before that. They're seeing your response. Your work is knowing who you are and how you are going to. But you said earlier that responding to what's in front of you are like real life stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people are responding to what they're thinking,
mm-hmm.
not what's really in front of them.
Right.
So the cop was responding to thinking I called him a racist,
right.
not that I let my windows down because I'm a former officer and I wanted him to be assured of his safety.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep.
Like you have an awareness that you're dealing with real life, not you're thinking about life.
Right.
Now, if something goes off, I will respond. You're always going to do what you're supposed to do because the only game we're playing is stay alive.
Right.
The moment you're born, there is only one truth. You will have a physical death.
Yep.
Whether you have good parents, bad parents, up for grabs. Whether you meet the love of your life, up for grabs. Whether you have education, poor, rich, all that's up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is not promised and nor is it afforded to everyone to have.
Yeah.
Except that truth that we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so however you figure to maneuver through life in your days to keep going is all we're doing.
Yeah.
So if that means freeze in place sometimes in certain situations, that was absolutely necessary so you didn't run into a bullet. Like it's everything has a reason.
Right.
Everything is. I know we try to label it when we go back in Monday morning quarterback things and go, I would have done differently. No, your body does what it's supposed to do in real time.
No, you see, know? After the fact, people were like, what was it? Just so they could seem more brave.
That's when you're safe, though.
Yeah.
You can't body. Well, like you said, that zone out, slow down moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when something happens. You're in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you get to safety, your brain, your body comes out of that moment of it being slow and feeling like a movie.
Yeah.
That's because the system knows it's safe.
Right.
It wouldn't come out of that zone unless it knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the system knows it's safe, here comes the thought come back. It's, man, that shit almost kill you. Bro, right. You should be worried. You should be depressed right now. You should be. Mm-hmm. Why? If it didn't kill me, I made
right.
it.
Right.
So why now would I take the thought of that incident that I got through and am still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I take it and weaponize it and then let it steal my joy of life?
Yeah.
Like, why would I do that? Because you know, people respond to what they're thinking about rather than what's really in front of us.
Yeah.
You know what's the easiest? People say the hardest part of the military must have been war. No, that's the easy part. When that first bomb goes off, it's so easy because you're just going to do what you've been trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no thought in this. Depending on how the ground shakes, depending on where you're going to run, it's organized chaos in a sense. It's beautiful if you pay attention to it. Everybody does instinctively or naturally something.
Right.
That's the same way without that. Everybody's always going to do something
mm-hmm.
that they feel is the best decision to get them through that moment.
Yeah.
Regardless of what that is.
Maybe running, maybe tackling the guy.
All of that.
Yeah.
All of that.
I was taught to drop down. So it's like
exactly.
Yeah, but
that saved my daughter's life.
Yeah, my father was in the military. So he told me, when you hear shooting, get to the floor. So as soon as I hear boom. Or I was in the machine and, you know, somebody pulled out a gun at an event. I run towards the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Why? Yeah. Because you don't want to be in the open space when people
open
are shooting.
Spaces. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But that was like, not to say I wasn't in the military, but that was like militant training. Yeah. If there's somebody shooting open, make sure you go towards the wall.
And the more times you were in environments that would potentially happen would reinforce your ability to do that in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's exactly. More given, it's just like repetition. That's what I mean by living in a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had enough repetition. Think about that.
Yeah.
To test the theory that it was safer to go down in gunshots or to get against the wall and you have never served in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but bro, I think that's embedded. Grandfather in the Navy, dad in the Army.
But
you know
that's probably where it came from. And they saw it in that environment and saw the use of it universally and taught it. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Because if I'm in a function, it's a bunch of people, Okay, if I get down, I'm gonna get trampled on. People are gonna be stepping on me. That happened before too. Like whenever the shooting, because everybody's trying to get out, so people are gonna fall over each other or whatever. So now my mind is okay. So not for that to happen, you got to go towards a wall. You can't be in an open space. You know what I'm saying? And you got and not to say you should get low because you might get shot in the head. So you might want to just stay up just in case. You don't want to get too low.
Most shootings, most people shooting, especially in certain areas, are shooting at about chest level.
That's
They
why
say
I
get
didn't
low.
du that's why I wasn't ducking.
That's
Because they're
why
gonna shoot at chest level, and then
then that's your head.
and that's from so I can't walk like this. You know what I mean? Because I shoot too. So I'm like, if people are gonna shoot, they're gonna shoot chest level, and more than likely I might get hit in the leg or something, depending on how far they are, because the bullet is gonna drop. So my mom was like, okay, yeah, now stay up, stand up, but then go towards the wall, because you definitely don't want to get hit in the head. You
Now,
know what I mean?
what's so funny about that is, God forbid it, but I hope you're never in another shootout.
Right.
But if you are in one, something totally different can hit you that you'll do, and it'll be the right thing to do. It's because you're reacting to what's in front of you for real, not
Right.
what you think about it. That's all. It's just you're in life and not in thinking about it.
Yeah, Elv, and just for clarity, nobody ever told me to run towards a wall ever in my life. You know what I'm saying?
That just popped in there because you saw
Yeah.
it as what
Right,
to do.
right. Yeah, but then
There it
that's what my brain was telling me to do at that,
is.
because you're thinking, and it's just you're gonna basically take everything that you've been trained and educated with, and then it's gonna pop up, and then okay, cool. This is what you got to do to survive. Because it's funny, because you said that, yeah, that's military, but I had no idea. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, my mom was like, don't duck, stay up, go towards the wall. So that's what I did. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, when I was in it,
That's so funny.
I didn't have a chance to think. I just heard a commotion. Oh, maybe somebody pulled out a gun. Why are people running? Okay, cool. Run, stay up, run towards the wall. You don't have time for that ducking shit right now. There's nothing to protect you.
You know what's so funny about what you're saying is this is why I get so upset at our government. Because have you ever heard of a mass shooting in the military? Like in the barracks, like in basic training?
Nah.
But all walks of life come. All walks of life come to basic training, and they give you your weapons, and there's never a mass shooting at basic training. I can't recall one. And it's because they have found a way to create an enemy stronger than the one you can think about, so you respond in that space you're talking about, where you just see the wall and know that's what you need to do to stay alive, to continue to fight. The military found a way for us to tap into that. They didn't teach us it was existed, though. They made us feel as if it was something they gave us so they control the power of it. But truth is, just by your explanation of it, that it's innately in us how to navigate through life. Because again, the thing is stay alive so we don't die,
Right.
right? Those things were boom, shooting off stuff for you could do. You actually had to drop all the noise you've ever been told to hear it because it's soft. So if you got a very busy mind, you won't hear it, which may cause you to freeze.
Right.
Which may cause you to freeze because you're like, oh my God, what's happening? What's this?
Yeah.
Way too much. It's actually when we can quiet our thought process enough to get to this underneath that intent behind that space underneath it. And then it provides a kind of like a way of moving where the next step just automatically reveals itself after you take the first one.
Right.
Like you could say, I'm running toward the wall, and then you see three holes hit the wall, and you're like, oh, go this way now.
Yeah, or
Right?
drop on
But
the
you wouldn't,
floor. Drop on the
exactly.
floor at
But
the
you wouldn't
wall.
stop and go, okay, wait a minute, hold up, everybody, hold up. Because I work this group, I'm gonna work this 8-part, 5-graph thing that I got online. Okay. My plan didn't go as planned. Okay, step two. All right, read about step three. That's not how it worked. You're just going to do whatever. And then when you come out of it, you'll go back and you'll replay it. And then
Right.
you'll try to tell me this is the way to get out of a situation.
Right.
It's no, that's how you got out of a situation. So it's not I'm trying to teach you how to get out of a situation. I'm trying to teach you how to hear that voice that says, take care of yourself, because that's the only way you're going to honorably be able to move through this grind. That's why I love when you said that.
Yeah, and it's don't put yourself in a situation to get killed just to try to seem like you're tough. Right. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Like, where's the guy with the gun and you don't have a gun? Why would you run up towards him? You know what I'm saying? Unless that person was like, you were behind them, okay, cool. Now you could tackle them, rep them, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's not okay to be a hero. But your mind will tell you that. It's, nah, man, we have to get out of here. And it's funny, I actually seen that with, like, there was a video of a man with his daughter, and his daughter was outside the car, and a coyote came and bit his daughter's leg and was trying to drag his daughter away. And the way the guy reacted was like, okay, he has to protect himself first. And so he like screamed, lifted his daughter in the air and was like, ah. And I was just like, wow, the average person would have been like, man, I would have kicked that dog. Man, I would have did. But I was like, man, he really responded to the best way that he could.
Best way he knew how.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. The best way first he was in shock. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like
that initial spark got him out of thinking about anything else. Yeah. Not what he's read about a coyote. Not that my daughter's going to die. Not that she was supposed to be a doctor. Not that what are my family going to think? Not what will people say about me? None of that was in his mind.
Right.
That's why it worked.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly why, because he was able to get underneath all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to that soft voice to say, do this. Now, that may not work every time.
But it worked
But it worked that time. And that's the only time it's got to work. Because again, if I try to make content and say, every time this coyote does this, you got to scream, I'm going to have half people get out and half people who don't get out. But because if I teach them to listen to the voice, then I'm 100 times going to get 100 people out, because they're going to do instinctively what they feel is best in that moment rather than what they're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. It's like strategically thinking.
Yeah.
And that's why I love playing Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? the story mode.
I know. I can't.
I love it, man, because it's like survival. And when you get shot, the controller shake and you make it feel like you really got hit. Man, I absolutely love it. But it's all like instincts and like what your voice tells you to survive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like one of my absolute favorite.
That's a very good point too, though. But that's how the movie goes. Mm-hmm. That even though you don't have the experience, that's the power of thought that it creates for us, our reality, where on Call of Duty, you can almost feel like you got shot.
Damn, that's crazy, because now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I got the whole wall thing from playing Call of Duty. Because I know that when I'm playing a game, if I'm close to a wall, it's always hard for me to get hit, because people, especially when I'm moving.
Okay. That is a perfect point.
See,
you just merged a video game and real life together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
No, bro, I swear, because it's like, because when you playing a game, you keep losing, you're gonna figure out a way to survive.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And you get mad, you be like, man, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Because when I'm playing, I'm like, if I stay close to a wall, they won't be able to hit me. And if I'm moving next to the wall, it's hard for them to, you know what I'm saying? It's hard for anybody to shoot out a moving target.
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't care what any of them movies don't do it. No justice. If it's a moving target, you're not more, a regular civilian is not going to hit it unless that thing is just moving
at a straight angle,
straight line. You know what I'm saying?
So here's something funny I'll tell you. Running against the wall is the most dangerous thing you can do.
Hmm.
Because it gives me a point of reference for the distance. You are absolutely right on hitting a moving target is the most important part. Until you take one part of that dynamic away, the spatial awareness. When the spot is open, I got to judge the depth. I got to judge the rate of speed. I got to judge it. But I don't have anything other than the other chaotic bodies running around at that moment to do this.
Right.
When you get to that wall, I get a vivid picture to pace. And you've taken away one of the barriers and given me a better shot. And I'm also having ability to trace that shot by just shooting in front of you, in a sense, because the wall gave me a backdrop.
It worked for the game. That makes perfect sense. if I was the target.
Yeah,
but in fact, a crowded place, I'm not the target.
You're not the target.
But more than likely, the bullet will hit somebody else before it hit me because I'm against the wall.
You we don't want no bullets hit. Let's go and take this on. Get a
metaphor. No, but it's like if it's a bunch of people and you're against the wall and the shooting's coming from the other side, if you're against the wall, more than likely you're not going to get hit. So it also depends on the scenario. But if I was the one.
Again, always depend on the scenario.
Yeah,
always.
If I was, I was the one that was being targeted, hell no, I wouldn't be against the wall. I'll be zigzagging. You know what I mean? That's what you got to do. You got to, then you're going to think a little different.
But everybody knows that. That's the point. I'm laughing because we say it as a joke, but we never really see that's actually how we're made. Even when you throw some at somebody that's unexpected, if they can get out of their thinking about it, they're just going to figure out what to do, like, quickly.
Right.
Everybody's built like that. Everybody's built like that. And depending on what level of life they've experienced that's been closer to danger and actual death, it would be how they do it. There are some communities, like we said, where crime is not rampant.
Yeah.
Them seeing a robbery on TV would be shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Me seeing a robbery in person, just glad I got out of there safely.
No.
Like it's just different environments, not right or wrong, just different. But when I go thinking about it and it gets all these rules and I make up all this stuff in my head, that's not it, man. That's what causes the problems.
And like the self-inflicted problems.
Yes. It's the discipline is staying, like you said, honorable or to what you know to be truth about life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have a good life. Right? It's not we were supposed to try to create equality so we can have a certain person's way of life.
Mm-hmm.
We, in my opinion, I'm not up for equality. What I want is equity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know for a fact, I'm not even trying to play in a perfect world. I know for a fact there are areas of the world that are underserved, more underserved than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should be afforded four more resources for those that already have. So I'm asking for equity,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, I'm pushing for the access to all of it. Now you could choose.
Right.
But the access to it, the institutional knowledge that's been kept away for generations, the micro, the macro economics that we have failed to grasp as a culture, the consumer, like all of that stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of what we've been told, what we think, what social media says, and engaging in it in real life and getting an understanding about it. That's, again, because when I feel secure, safe, and better, I'm a better partner in the world. I'm a horrible avatar in the world when my life is not safe. I feel financially secure. I feel great in my relationships. Then when I go into places, I'm an ass.
Yeah.
But when my life is good, when I go into those places, I plant seeds. I express love. Game is always take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing you could do for the world.
Yeah, because you're leading by example. Yeah. I'll tell a perfect example about that, man. Let's say I'm a pretty fit guy. Like everybody probably knows that if you ever seen me in person.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at it like this. I say, like, we met up and we had lunch together, right? Say if a guy walks in and he sees me and I'm a fit person and he never talks to me or anything like that. And he was just like, man, that guy was pretty on point. I need to start going to the gym now.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he just starts going to the gym and changes his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I have no clue in my mind. That I influenced that person to do that.
None.
I don't have a single clue, but the universe knows.
Yeah.
Or God or Allah or whatever we want to call it. They know. Yeah. So
I say it's something deeper. It's always something deeper.
It's way deeper. Because I had no idea I was motivating my auntie to start working out. Just by me being fit. My nephew, I'm about to go to the gym. My nephew in there. My sisters are now working out, looking up diet plans and stuff like that. And I'm just like, wow. When you are your best self and people could see that, you could really change the world. You know what I'm saying? You can't change the world talking about being well, being this, being that, and you don't look like you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's why the Bible says whoever is without sin casts the first stone. We all got our sin.
Everybody
does.
Everybody.
You know what I'm saying? But the best thing you could do is just be the example by what people could see about you. You know what I'm saying? And it's that's what, you know what was happening. There was a prostitute about to get stoned. Okay, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. You know what I'm saying? Now it's okay, now look at yourselves. You know what I mean? You will be
Because
stoned
she
too if
can't be a
people.
prostitute unless somebody was buying the
Right.
product. You feel me? Like, I was
Yeah.
like, yeah, she
Yep.
is one, but that means that somebody around here had to be. I remember I had a client who was an adult film star, and I'll never forget the way she made me see this. She said, if we're so bad, why is our industry so well funded? It was like, wait a minute, you on to something right there. It's
Right.
like everybody's saying, no, that's not right. That's not right. Subscribe, click, whatever. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's the game some people are playing.
Yeah, like behind closed doors, they're
Don't,
watching
yeah, I
porn,
just don't want to
doing,
play that
yeah,
game.
doing all that. You know what I'm
Right, I
saying?
just
But
don't want
they'll
to
tell
play
you,
that.
man, nah, I don't do all that. But
Yeah.
next thing you know, they on their phone doing what they got to do.
Those are those who are not. Those aren't on militant grind. Those aren't honorables.
Yeah.
They got their own objectives, but yeah.
Yeah, when you come from a judgmental lens, it's, I used to be that way, but now I'm just like, man, it's really no point to being like that because you don't know
Yeah.
somebody's story. You don't know what
You
they
don't.
went through. A lot of those people were sexually abused, manipulated, and things like that, that unfortunately that they went through. Because I was
Yeah.
watching this story about oh God, a transgender woman that's now a prostitute on the streets. And then she started talking about her childhood, how she was raped by her older cousin at 11, and then her grandmother pimped her out for drugs, and she helped her grandmother inject drugs and seen her grandmother high, and her parent, her mom died at when she was 2 months, and all this other stuff. And it's just, damn, you
Yeah.
lucky that you still here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Like how could we judge this person? It was like, it was crazy, but just when you first look at it, you're like, oh man. But then when they start going into her story, when she starts going into her story, I was just like, damn. Like, I would hate for
What's
my child
sad
or
is
somebody to go through that.
she's probably one of so many.
Yeah.
That's the actually, I could say it this way. She's one of everybody because everybody at some point has went through something traumatic in their life. The narrative of it may not have been the same. Like your traumatic experience may not be the same as my traumatic experience, but the feeling we had at the moment we were facing that trauma is the same. That part's the same. So yeah, you're right. She had to get underneath a whole lot of thinking to make it through all of that. She had to forget. Not forgive, but she had to stop thinking about what people was gonna say about her and just do it, because that was what was required. She had to stop. She put herself in a position to navigate through that experience of her life.
And still navigating by the best opportunity that they know. Like,
That's
I
it.
mean, I'm sure if that person would have got a good education, you know what I'm saying, had the
Or some
opportunity
type
in
of structure.
college, yeah, or
Oh yeah.
structure at home,
Not
then
even home. No, not home. Catching her right where she is. That is the only reason we have a Jay-Z. The story goes he sold drugs, or let's not take Jay-Z. We say Rich Paul, because I just finished his book. Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, right? In his book, he talks about his dad providing with him when he got older a level of structure where he got that crossroad, because he did sell drugs. But once he sold enough, then he stopped that and used all of the characteristics, behaviors that made this possible, and then put it over here, showing it was the same, right? That lady has just shown us she's one of the strongest people walking the earth. So if you could get her to see that, like we were talking about earlier with falling, just fail so many times, you're good, we're getting back up, dust yourself off type thing. She wakes up to that and she's tapped into that voice. That's the only way she's made it this far. Given the situation she's had, she may not know that's what's happening, but she has tapped into that inner voice and submitted to it to listen to what to do, how to navigate more times than not. Truth given by her story.
It's bro, it's funny. I forgot all about this. So last week I was at the bar for one of my friend's birthdays, and I was talking to this brother. He's from Watts, like not Watts, East LA. It's not Watts, but basically he's from side of East LA that's rough, right? And he told me that in high school he woke up every day at 3 a.m. to catch the regular bus to come to school out in the valley. Go to school out in the valley. And I was like, What? You woke up at 3 a.m. every day to go to high school, and I just started asking people, like, could y'all imagine that? They were like, heck no, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No. From 9th grade to 12th grade, that's what you did? Because or else you would have went to this school close to him, and that school is rough. I've been up to the school he's talking about, and that that school is, you don't want to go there.
Teachers may not have been more engaged. He probably
Yeah.
wouldn't have gotten the resources and opportunity. So
Yeah,
he had
he
to
would
do
have been
something
a
different
different
to get
person.
something
And I told
different.
him, I was like,
Exactly.
bro, with that discipline that you've had as a kid, you could be a multimillionaire right now. You could be anything that you want with that. If you woke up at 14 at 3 o'clock in the morning to take the regular bus, 3 hours on the regular bus to get to school, and I was like, so what time did you get home some days? He was like, I got home at 10. I was like, what?
PM?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He probably fell asleep on the bus a few times, but I was like, dang.
That's super interesting, given the mindset kids in high school have of not wanting to be there, always looking for excuses to skip.
Come on,
He's
man.
he got 3 hours. Dang, you're right. That's some discipline right there. That's
Yeah, I was
definitely
like,
some
bro, I
discipline.
wouldn't have did it. I probably would have. There's no way. You know, I used to be up at night talking to my girlfriend all night, wake up sleepy.
Priorities
Yeah, you know what I'm
different.
saying? I was like, man, you have a discipline that's no other, bro. And I
Yeah.
really commend you for that. But trust me, you have something in you where you could be a very great person. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Just with that. And that goes to what you just said, because when people talk about their struggles, I'm like, man, why don't you take that energy and point it towards greatness? That pain should be able to give you energy and resilience to be like, man, I'm unstoppable if I try to do something. That's
Yeah.
why I like boxers are usually dudes that are from the hood that have dealt with a lot of pain. Like Mike
Yeah.
Tyson, one of the greatest ever. You listen to his story, he went through a lot of pain growing up. You know what I mean? Even though
Yeah.
he said he didn't like the person that he became when he got in the ring, but it was like that helped him become a successful person. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? You're never gonna hear of a boxer that says, oh yeah, I went to private school and my mom was a doctor, dad was a lawyer. No, you probably don't want to get into boxing. You know what I'm saying?
The sport wouldn't probably be what it is because some of the people in it wouldn't seem as hungry, so the competition level wouldn't be the same.
Exactly.
The Wood Ranch where we ate lunch at that time,
Yeah.
I was over there the other about a couple weeks ago, and it was a Marine in full service dress sitting at the bar, and so immediately I knew he was a recruiter, and so we started talking, and he's having a hard time recruiting, and I was like, yeah, the area you're in. Like some of these kids around here, allowance is more than what they're going to make the first couple years in the military. This is, there is no opportunity here. Like you're not presenting nothing to them. That's, you don't have anything. So I was like, you're going to have to go into an area where people are hungry and opportunities are limited for this to be served. Not
Right.
saying you might not catch somebody who wants to do, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's so many opportunities around here because most of the kids in this area, their families own businesses. Their parents are entrepreneurs. You're either going to be in the family business, working, or college. Like it's already set up for them in a way. So what you're offering in an affluent area doesn't work.
Yeah, there would be no way in
And it
hell
was so
somebody could
funny.
convince me to go to the military if I had it like that.
I
You know,
agree.
I wanted to go to the military straight out of high school because I was like, what am I gonna do? You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It was during the Iraq War. My mom was going crazy. I was like, all right, never mind, I won't go. She was like, no. But it made sense. Probably saved my life in hindsight. Who knows? You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it probably did because that's one thing people forget when you go in the military. They be tripping when we go to war. Be like, I don't want to deploy. That's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point of being here. It was so many conversations I used to have. People trying to get out of deployments, don't want them, don't. I came in for school. No, you came in to go to war. Like you came in to go to war. You might get school as a benefit. He was brought here to defend this country. That's
Right.
first and foremost. Like whatever guise you came underneath, whatever umbrella you thought you were coming in under, no, you're here to fight, period.
Right,
So
right.
yeah,
I mean,
that's
there's a benefit, but don't let the benefits overshine the purpose at all.
perfect. Exactly.
You
So you're
know?
very right. She could have saved your life. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because them recruiters would say anything to you, and I was believing it all.
Oh. He
you
was
won't
like,
go
you
to
can play
war.
ball. He was like, yeah, you can play ball in the military. I'm like, oh, snap, sign me up. Yeah, intramurals. Yeah, everybody got colleges got that. He had me thinking I got another path to greatness to pros. Mm. Intramurals. Yeah, everybody play intramurals. That's community rec league. Yeah.
Yeah, Miles was telling me all kind of stuff. I was like, oh, I was believing it all. But then I was like, hold on, that made no sense.
Yeah.
When I got older, he was basically told me that I want to go to USC. And he was like, yeah, if USC doesn't let you in because we fund them and give them funding, we could say, hey, if you don't let this person in, we'll cut your funding. You could get in there. I was like, really? I'm like, man, you don't know nobody. I know power to do that. What the hell? And that's a public school with a huge endowment. Man, I never got that.
He wants, when you sign up or when you enlist, they want you to feel like they're doing you the favor. Yeah. That's how you get to dig into the service type attitude.
Mm-hmm.
This got to be your last resort. This, you couldn't have had many options. You can't, even if you get to a certain amount of wealth in the military, they will put you out.
Mm.
Because you no longer have this mentality that would be willing to die for their interests because the paychecks wouldn't equate. So say
how
if
they
I
know your wealth.
Oh, they know everything about you. Everything about you. Say for instance, I hit the lottery.
Mm.
Five mil is, let me not say it like that, because my family probably cussing me out. What? I was about to say five mil, okay. It ain't gonna really, you don't know. It's life changing, but it may not hold you for the whole duration of your life. It's expensive if things is, right? But make no doubt about it, 5 million, I think, is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
If I hit that 5 million with taxes, I'm probably gonna get about 1.8 to 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not enough to fund my family and everything and all that. I would still possibly be forced administratively out of the military because that's more than they would ever pay me, even after doing all 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. It would be a conflict of interest.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a certain type. Military has a certain type.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they recruit. That's why everybody doesn't get an option. It's because they need a certain type. And that certain type falls subject to this certain conditioning. And as a result, I get a human being who's willing to go abroad and defend my interests. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. And they really get people with that ass vibe.
Yeah.
But if we're ass vibe, my brother was a recruiter, and he would tell me, like, man, a lot of people aren't even passing the ass vibe. And I would be like, what? Seriously?
Yeah.
I really couldn't believe that, man. Rob, this has been a great conversation, bro.
We done went way longer. I know you might have to chop it up.
As expected, as always, Rob. So where can people find you?
Everybody, you can find me at www.imrobcook.com. That's imrobcook.com. Yeah, you can find most of everything out there. If you go to Instagram, I'm at imrobcook.
Well, that's such an easy name. Did you shorten it? Is your name Robert Cookington or something like that?
Nah, it's Robert Cook, but I shortened it to Rob once I got out of the military. Because Bob is my dad. And so I can't be called Bob yet because my dad's still alive. So
Bobby Cook does sound pretty nice, though.
You know, I used to have one client used to call me Robbie.
Okay.
Then I just was like Rob. That's short, simple, sweet.
Yeah, Rob, I would never go by Robbie. Heck no.
Yeah.
That had to be a woman that called you that, huh?
Yeah,
sounds good. Only women call me Shermie, and I'm like, oh, my, whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'll let her slide with that. I sure am. Like, okay. But a man, no, you better not.
Yeah, it's a problem, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
All right, man. So thank you so much, man, for being on the Militant Grind podcast, bro.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Definitely share like some great insights, especially about like awareness, mindset, and being graceful when it comes to different people and different situations. Because we all are one. We all have our traumas and our triumphs and things like that. And it's just talking to someone that has dealt with a lot of people like you have, being a military policeman, being deployed and dealing with all of those different personalities in the military, it's okay, this person knows what they're talking about. Because you you dealt with a lot of human beings in your life for over 21 years in the service.
21 years.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's how we know what you're saying is real.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So thank you, bro, and have a great rest of your day.
All right, man. Same to you.
All right.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.